welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
Do you remember reading about that experiment done with water in Martin Place in Sydney? It was a couple of years ago, and they had an 18,000 litre rainwater tank filled up, plus the equivalent amount in bottles. The bottled water was quite cheap compared to those you find in some posh hotel rooms at $5 or more. These were only $1.66 each. Passers-by were asked to guess how much a tank of rainwater cost versus the bottles. The answer was tank, that's 18,000 litres remember, a mere $21.60 the lot. Bottles, the same volume, $29,880. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? When it comes to recycling, we are similarly bemused. What to make of the plebiscite in Toowoomba in southern Queensland over a year ago, when the majority said no to a recycling scheme? Well, sociologist Dr. June Marks has been investigating. She's a visiting scholar at Flinders University in Adelaide.
Public perceptions of innovative science and technology are often cast aside as misguided ideas that need changing. My research has focused on recycling water for various household and public uses. Public opinion is usually seen as an impediment, a seemingly insurmountable hurdle that can only be overcome through a clever marketing campaign. In fact, science itself proves that the public are not generally opposed to recycling water. The Social Science Designed and Managed Surveys in the USA in the 70s and 80s, more recent case studies in Australia, and our Flinders University Sociology Department National Survey of Capital City Dwellers confirms very high acceptance for a number of applications. Water recycling has been implemented in Australia for the irrigation of golf courses, public parks, playing fields, and more recently, agriculture, including pastures, vegetables, and fruit. Over 85% of Australians say they have experienced or are aware of this type of water recycling. And their perception is that it's okay. The irrigation of golf courses and parks and flushing of public toilets are favoured by over 90%. From 70 to 90% support applications for commercial laundries and irrigation within the food chain. Apart from these public applications, survey reports suggest that people are more opposed to recycled water the closer it gets, the not-in-my-backyard NIMBY syndrome, and particularly when bodily contact is suggested. However, this is not an accurate representation. In fact, our research shows that 90% of Australians are willing to use recycled water in their own home. This includes garden irrigation and toilet flushing, as well as hand watering and car washing, uses that involve bodily contact. There are some qualifications, of course, and hesitation revolves around whether the science and technology that informs the standards set by regulatory bodies can be continuously maintained. The idea of the public being an impediment starts to surface when recycled water is proposed for personal use. Even so, willingness to use the water through an indirect potable reuse system for all household uses reaches over 70%. Indirect potable reuse is where the recycled water is blended with traditional water sources before further treatment and distribution in the usual way. When confidence in using the water for drinking was explored in the survey, 42% were greatly or moderately confident. This aligns with the result in Toowoomba, where confidence was surely tested, and 38% voted to use it in this way. This same level of confidence in drinking the water, around 40%, was found in three further surveys we conducted with water recyclers at Newington and Rouse Hill in Sydney and Mawson Lakes in Adelaide, just before the Toowoomba plebiscite. So what shapes perceptions and can they be changed? This question is quite naturally asked by proponents of potable reuse, but their answer is to focus on the last part of the question and to simply market this technical marvel, which it is. This strategic approach to public consultation was applied in 6 cases in the USA and a few proposals made in Australia, including Toowoomba, and all schemes have been shelved, abandoned, or the water is now used for not-for-drinking uses. The Toowoomba result is interesting because it depends how you perceive it. It was thought that 50% plus one person would do it for Toowoomba. And surely, from a marketing point of view, capturing over a third of the market was a resounding success. However, even if support had reached the goal level, imagine the political fallout of a divided electorate and the damage to the social fabric of that city. From a sociological perspective, neither the proposed outcome of 50% acceptance for Toowoomba nor the actual process of consultation was a success. In fact, the final outcome, with 38% accepting the proposal, is quite surprising considering the flawed approach to the community. Toowoomba, like all the proposals for potable reuse schemes before it, was tackled through a top-down approach. That is, we'll look at the options, decide which will be best for our city, announce that this is a good idea, and then defend our choice. This is commonly termed the DAD, Decide, Announce, Defend strategy, an approach that does not work when you're trying to introduce change in a taken-for-granted essential service. Modernity is the impediment, not the public. Specialisation has meant that we are all experts in our own field and rely on other experts to get their patch developed and moving efficiently. Water supply is a pervasive expert system that has earned the basic trust of countless millions across the globe. However, as more of our world is shaped by science for a more highly educated society, with greater access to information technology, any transformation proposed is queried and contested. As this type of change relies heavily on science and technology, science will continually question the findings, providing evidence for and against its truth claims. It is right until proven wrong. In the current culture, in what Giddens terms late modernity, active trust replaces basic trust. Most people want to know what's going on before they'll invest confidence in the proposed change. My research on the experience of water recycling finds that willingness to use recycled water for drinking is largely socially and culturally constructed. People's understanding of the law or regulations governing the safety of the water for the proposed use, their confidence that there will be compliance with those standards, how familiar they are with what is being proposed, the transparency of the information and governance that supports the proposal, and accountability of the social institutions involved all work to develop a culture of trust or distrust. Most importantly, the way in which the proposal emerges will shape perceptions. You've heard it said so often that people need to feel a sense of ownership in decisions that affect their lives. This cliche becomes more fundamental to not only a successful outcome, but crucially, a successful process of community deliberation for a change in water supply. Indirect potable reuse causes us to reconsider our most intimate routines. It stretches our cultural sensibilities. It involves trusting the reticulated water sufficiently to use for washing clothes, showering, cooking, and drinking. Drinking the product water on television may impress the general public, but it is unlikely to convince a community that feels alienated from the process of discerning the whole problem and its possible solutions. The stunt would possibly backfire, feeding suspicions that all is not as it should be. The finding of this research is that people need to be involved at length before the final solution is selected and marketed to reassure them that the right choice has been made. Once the change to the drinking water supply is implemented, there will be limited consumer choice. Unlike the marketing scenarios that pitch for acceptance of a particular product among other products. It would be very difficult for some to install rainwater tanks for potable uses. And even if it were practical, this would provide a limited resource if the prolonged drought endures. Bottle water would be an expensive option, and again, impractical for showering and washing clothes. These are the types of concerns that make consumer choice after the fact a misnomer for this essential service. Public perceptions are not necessarily irrational and emotional. Perceptions are based on community experience, attitudes, beliefs and behaviour, and thus the world is perceived through a cultural lens. Conflict is inevitable when a controversial issue is considered. However, if aired early in the process, consensus rather than continued conflict is a realistic goal that can be attained. The process of consultation is a difficult one, but will be shaped by the local context. In the current climate, literally, there would be little argument with the claim that there are insufficient water resources to meet future demand. This fact needs public deliberation, allowing the usual accusations and disappointments to be aired. In many cities, this part of the process has already occurred, resulting in agreement that something needs to be done. Time is of the essence, and so even the process of identifying all possible options may also be speeded up if the community is allowed to brainstorm the issue and contribute to the research. Above all, an ethical approach is required. People's truth claims need to be heard and all participants and ideas treated with respect. It is easy to deride ideas that for most people would seem ludicrous, but all claims should be assessed without prejudice to illustrate why some options will be more suitable than others. If the community evaluates the process of consultation as being successful, politics will not become an issue and social learning will result. There is a case study underway which may illustrate these principles. I am not referring to the groundwater replenishment system for Orange County, California. Consultation there has followed a top-down strategy, and the product water will not be online until later this year, nor the Western Corridor Recycle Water Project. This has been pronounced by the Queensland Government to make potable water available to industry and southeast Queensland by December next year. Nor am I referring to the Singapore New Water System, which includes a state-of-the-art visitor centre to inform and educate visitors on how clean bottled water can be resourced from effluent. Such a demonstration would be welcome alongside any water reuse project and seems to have brought people on side. However, it is questionable whether the success of the system, which supplies industry and currently supplements just 2% of the island's drinking water supply, is transferable to an Australian context. The final outcome of Queensland's Western Corridor scheme may provide an answer. The case study I have in mind is Goulburn, New South Wales. The water crisis there is recognised not only by the townspeople, but also by all Australians who have taken an interest in their plight. The Goulburn Mulwaree Council has embarked on a transparent and meaningful form of consultation that will be considering the range of options still available to this area. Therefore, providing opposing ideas are worked through rather than stifled, and there is respectful dialogue, consensus should be reached. If the process is genuine, the outcome is uncertain. Indirect potable reuse, labelled the Sustainable Cities option, along with other measures, may be adopted. Or the council may decide, in consultation with their public, that other solutions will be pursued, or adaptations to the potable reuse proposal might be made to accommodate people's concerns. Either way, this form of consultation will enable people to live with their decision. The social fabric will not only remain intact, but may be enhanced due to the richness of the learning experience.
So full marks to Goulburn, New South Wales, from Dr. June Marks, sociologist at Flinders University in Adelaide. Next week we shall turn to pottery and Bill Hall, whose collections began with such a small treasure. I'm Robin Williams.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.